97.5 The Fanatic. Rob Motti with you till 3 p.m. Getting you set for Eagles Giants tomorrow. Sixers Raptors later on today here on 97.5 The Fanatic after D-line them. Down at the center. Sixers coming off a big rout of the Cleveland Cavaliers last night. And a huge story in that one is Ben Simmons having a career night. 34 points. Shot 9 of 12 from the foul line. 12 of 14 from the field. Hit a three-pointer in the corner. His second three-pointer. But as Q just pointed out a little bit ago, he did it without Joel Embiid on the court. Can he have those kind of games? He took over. He stepped up when they needed him without JoJo, without Jay Rich last night. But the question marks, I think, surrounding Ben Simmons is how can he perform with Joel Embiid? Can they win together? And those are real question marks. We've seen him get to the second round of the playoffs, but not beyond that 2 years in a row. So how do you feel about his performance last night? And does that change some of your criticisms? Does it give you hope about his future here and what the Sixers can do? And also, we're having some fun with Randall Cunningham, was my all-time favorite athlete growing up, was the guy. Made me fall in love with football. Watching Randall, listening to Buddy, I just couldn't wait for Sundays. And he's going to be here tomorrow, Monday Night Football against the Giants. Honorary captain. I know it's going to get the crowd fired up, but who's your favorite athlete of all time? Your favorite athletes, favorite Randall memories? We'll do all that. 610-632-0975. Suzanne in Mount Airy's been hanging. Appreciate it. Suzanne, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up?
Absolutely. How are you?
I'm awesome. How are you?
Outstanding. Okay, so my favorite player, I have two, but Dr. J. I played basketball from the time I was 14. I went on a full ride to school, and I'm in the Hall of Fame in the city.
Oh, yeah. Where at, Suzanne? Where at?
At Palestra. I played at LaSalle.
Oh, awesome.
Under Speedy Morris. I don't know.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I know Speedy Morris. I know the Palestra very well. My longtime partner is a legend there, Jack Shore.
I know. It was great. It had dead spots all over. Now it looks pretty. Then it wasn't.
Yeah.
And the reason is I wanted to be Dr. J because when I was playing, there weren't a ton of women playing, so I was always playing with the guys. And he was the person that I emulated. So he was a clean player. You never heard any dirt about him. It just was the love of the game, and I loved that. And Charles Barkley is the other one. He used to come to LaSalle and shoot at night, so I got a chance to shoot around with him. Great guy.
Mm-hmm.
So those are my two faves. And then
those are two very good ones, that's for sure.
Yeah, my question to you is, okay, so we keep going after players that have already been proven can't play, whether it's mostly the Eagles. Mm-hmm. There are tons of college players out there. You cannot tell me that we can't find some decent players and we need to keep going back to the well that's empty.
You mean in regards to the Eagles bringing back guys like Jordan Matthews, guys that they're familiar with? I think what that is, Suzanne, and I get what you're saying, scouting is a big issue, drafting has been a big problem. I think when they get to week 10, week 11, week 8, whatever it is, and they find themselves in a bind and they need a body, they'd rather bring in somebody they know is up to speed and familiar with the offense rather than bring somebody in who would have to get caught up in that offense, and it takes them a while. But then we see that they bring back Ajayi, and they clearly don't feel he's ready to play because he's been out for so long. He doesn't get much. You bring back Jordan Matthews, he lasts a couple weeks and gets cut. So I understand their point and why they do it, but you bring up a valid criticism in that there's guys out there.
Yeah, even before the season starts, we know what we need. No. I mean, it's not like, well, the season started, I think we need this person. We know.
Yeah, you're right. The holes are glaring. The holes are obvious.
Yeah.
But here's the deal. No matter how poorly they've played and drafted and scouted, the NFC East is right because it's so bad. It's right there for them to win this year, and they can do it. All they got to do is take care of some of these bad teams on the schedule ahead of them.
Yeah, let's hope, because I'm a Wentz lover, so.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate the call, and thank you for hanging in there. Have a great Sunday, Suzanne.
You too. Bye-bye.
Let's get to Jerome. He's in West Philly, and you're on the Fanatic. What's up, Jerome?
Yo, good morning. How you doing, man? Or good afternoon. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Thank you for calling.
Hey, I wanted to say that, like, the problem with Embiid is that Embiid's out of shape, and he won't run the break. And that kind of screws up Simmons and what he can do as far as, because he likes to drive to the hole. He's like, to, you want to move. Mm-hmm. And Embiid is so slow. And he's like the last one up the court, the last one. I mean, he has a good game, but it's two different offensive schemes trying to work together. And be able to beat these other teams in the conference in the playoffs, you're going to have to run them off the court. You know, when you play half court, you know, basketball with these with Toronto,
yeah,
of course they're going to shut Embiid down every time if you're not running.
Well, you're not off base by saying he's not in shape. I don't know what it is with Joel and being able to go, like, we see him games where he's just going foul line, 3-point line to 3-point line. And you're a professional athlete, man. You got, you know, when I was on with Devon on Friday and he's telling me about the nutrition and them bringing food to his refrigerator and it stays there. And this is like a few years ago. Like, at what point do you, and I know he lost all that weight, right? He lost all that weight in the offseason, 20 pounds or whatever. But losing weight and being in excellent cardiovascular shape to go up and down the court are two different things.
That's true. That's true. And, I mean, Randall, AI, you know, Dr. J, Charles Barkley, you know, the city bestowed greatness upon these people. You know, they had a buzz about them and everything, but the city kind of bestowed them and made them great. And when you look at Embiid and, like, Simmons, they kind of already take it as a given that they're already there. And it's kind of like two different mind states of, you know, it's kind of like today as compared to back then. You know, the people made them great. Not really. They feel like they're great already. So their whole mind state of approaching sports is different.
No, I think I understand a little bit of that. Yeah, because we kept hearing about Joel and Ben Simmons, how they're a once-in-a-generation type player and all that before they even started playing. And they were kind of anointed these great superstars before they actually did it, whereas Randall earned it. Dr. J earned it. You're right.
Exactly. And when you look at Simmons, and he didn't win it, he didn't even go to the NCAA tournament at LSU.
No.
So he didn't win there. If you can't get your team, no matter how good they say you are, your team should have been in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I know. That's going back, though, a little bit, Joe. I mean,
you can't really. But he, all in all, he doesn't have any, like, wins or notifiable, like, background to his history to say he's this great a guy.
Yeah, I mean, we can't say this. We can't say this. This was a bad basketball team for many, many years. And then his first year here, they got in the playoffs. They won. They got in the playoffs the second year. They won. Now it's about taking them to that next level. He's got to get to that. And I appreciate the call, Jerome. You have a great Sunday, man. Thank you. It's about going to that next level, going to the becoming an elite basketball team, an elite player. They were able to get to the second round of the playoffs 2 years in a row. And we know about the quadruple bounce Kawhi in Game 7 up in Toronto. But now it's about going to that, winning, getting over that hump, getting to the finals and seeing what you could do there. I want to play this cut in a little bit from Coach Brett Brown last night after the game, after seeing what Ben Simmons was able to do and what he wants, kind of a message he sent to him. But let's get to Rich in Maryland. We're an hour into the show. We got three calls from Maryland. I like that. You're on the Fanatic. What's up, Rich?
Hey, how you doing?
Fantastic, buddy. How are you?
Okay, just real quick, I think the other guy on the phone was a little wrong about Ben. I think we all remember this is their third year together. Shaq and Kobe, it took them 4 to 5 years to start winning anything.
That's also a good point. It's true.
But that being said, my favorite athlete of all time, and I'm a basketball fan. I'm a basketball guy through and through. But my favorite athlete is Iron Mike Tyson. I mean, he was so dominant in the first 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, he was.
He had everybody scared. He literally won fights before he even got in the ring. The guys were just ducking because they just didn't want to fight him. And I know he didn't last long because his personal life got in the way, which is probably really tragic. But he held captive the boxing world for that long stretch. Even after he started losing, he still was much beat TV. So for me, it was Iron Mike, the speed and the power. I never saw anything like it.
Yeah, you made sure you watched his, and like he was started in the era of pay per view and all that stuff too, right?
Right.
But you made sure you were around the TV. You somehow got your eyes on it and saw what he could do. Because he, like you said, I grew up, like, boxing was huge back then. It was before the UFC. It was before MMA and all that stuff.
Correct.
It was boxing. Like, I remember, I didn't see Ali, but I remember Larry Holmes. Remember Larry Holmes?
Right. Oh, absolutely.
Right? Yeah, Larry Holmes and Jerry Cooney and those guys. And then Mike Tyson comes along, and he was so intimidating, incredible.
So intimidating.
Yeah,
he wasn't that big of a guy as far as height.
Oh, no, 5'10", right? Something like that.
So power-packed, he had that neck and them arms, and he would just hit you, and you would crumble. As far as Randall Cunningham, the one thing that sticks out with me, and he was incredible. I just felt bad he never could put it all together. But that play in Buffalo, when Bruce Smith was trying to take his head off, and he ducked, and he threw it like 70 yards to Barnett.
Oh, yeah.
That was absolutely incredible. I was like, this guy... It was the dude like the Jordan of football. He did so many things that no one ever saw before on the football field. Way before Vic, way before McDowell, Randall Cunningham was a great player.
That's exactly right. I mean, he was the Jordan of football without the championships. Like, the things that he would do on that field, just incredible, Rich. I appreciate the call, man.
Hey, love the show.
Have a great Sunday. Thank you. 610-632-0975. First time all afternoon. We got some open lines. You can get in here. Randall, man, to me, I loved just the flick of the wrist. Like, he could, with the flick of the wrist, he has such a strong, strong arm. He could throw it 60, 70 yards downfield. It was just a beautiful thing to watch, but I loved the running ability. Like, and he would get sacked a lot. There were years, because that offensive line was terrible. He had a terrible offensive line. One year, what was it, 60 sacks, 72, 54, 57, 49, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times in his career with the Eagles, the team gave up the most sacks in the NFL. 5 times. But he would escape like nobody can. He would run downfield like he would. He was like he would gallop downfield. Now, I loved watching Randall run. 942 yards was the most he ever had. That was in 1990, the year they went 10-6 that year. 3 years in a row with Buddy, made the playoffs and didn't win a game. And then 91, of course, he gets hurt, but comes back. 92 leads him to the playoffs. They finally get the win with Rich Kotite in New Orleans. Just he was so fun to watch for me. Randall was so fun to watch. I loved watching him run. He would get those rushing yards on just broken plays. They weren't designed. It wasn't. And I don't want to take anything away from what Lamar Jackson's doing in Baltimore. He's having a great season, MVP type season. Very likely could be the MVP. But he's got a lot of plays that are designed runs. Randall, they weren't designed. They were just broken plays that he would turn into yards, and he would hurdle guys, all that stuff. So he's going to be here tomorrow as the honorary captain. And I want to hear some of your Randall memories and who is your favorite athlete of all time. But also, of course, we're talking about the game. How optimistic are you about the Eagles? Forget about the Cowboys losing. Whether the Cowboys lost to the Bears or not, the Eagles still controlled their playoff hopes. They win all four, they're in. And the fact that the Cowboys lost to the Bears on Thursday only means this, that if they lose to the Rams this coming week, then the Eagles could afford to lose one more game. But forget about having and it can't be the Cowboys game. That's the thing. They got to beat the Cowboys. But before they get to that game, they have to beat the Giants. They have to beat the Redskins. So how are you viewing this team now? Does that give you renewed hope? The fact that, hey, the Cowboys are dreck. Jerry Jones is getting into it with radio hosts. You know Jason Garrett's going to be fired. Pat Shermer's going to be fired. You're going to have new coaches in the NFC East next year, all except for the Eagles with Doug Peterson. So you're looking at tomorrow night's game with an opportunity to, at 6-7, you win, you're 6-7, you're in a first place tie. So how are you feeling about that? And Ben Simmons last night with a huge performance, albeit without Joel Embiid on the floor. You guys have that cut from Coach Brown Nat, is that ready to go? All right, this is Coach Brown after the game last night on Ben Simmons.
This is what I want. Okay, you can pass this along to his agent, his family, and his friends, and to him. I want a 3-point shot a game minimum. The pull up twos, I'm fine with whatever he's open, but it's like I'm interested in the 3-point shot. And the mentality that he has where he's turning corners and taking that long step, that gather step, and bringing his shoulders to the rim and trying to dunk or finish tight will equal higher efficiency or getting fouled. That's the world that interests me the most, those two things.
And that was Brett Brown afterwards. That's what he wants to see, right? He wants to see Ben Simmons take more, at least a three a game, and the mentality where he's getting to the rim, he's getting fouled, he's going to the foul line 8 times a game, and that's what he's looking at as far as Ben Simmons' progression, Ben Simmons developing into the player that he can be, living up to his potential. So when you see that last night, and I know it's against the Cavaliers, and I know Joel Embiid wasn't on the floor, but when you see him capable of doing that last night and going to the foul line 12 times and knocking down 9 of those and then hitting the 3-pointer, does that change a little bit of your perception of Ben? The fact that if you've been criticizing him, if you think that his game has got these big holes in him, and well, he showed last night that he can do it. It's a small sample. It's one game. But for me, it's a positive. I don't know how you can look at that. I know you can say all you want it was against the Cavs. And we can say it was with Joe. It's still a pie. It's better than the fact he could have gone to the line 12 times and was 2-for-12. He could have taken that 3 and airballed it. But he didn't. He knocked down the 3. He went to the line and made those shots. So how are you feeling about Ben after last night? 610-632-0975. It is a big game against the Raptors today. Raptors beat them 2 weeks ago. Joel Embiid had 0. So I know I'm surprised Toronto's as good as they are without Kawhi Leonard. I'm really surprised that the Raptors and Siakam's developing into a better and better player, just getting better and better. And they seem to, and they beat the Sixers and held Embiid to 0 without Kyle Lowry. He's back. And I think Embiid coming off last night, I know he's got the hip contusion, didn't play, should be ready to go. And this is an opportunity for him to show that, hey, Marc Gasol doesn't have, he's not in his head as much as we think he is, right? He's got to go out there and dominate. And what do you think about what Coach Brown said about Ben Simmons? You could pass it along to his agent, his family and friends. This is what I want. I want a 3-point shot a game minimum. He said the pull-up twos, I'm fine with whatever's open, but I'm interested in the 3-point shot. And then he wants him to get to the line 8 times. And he says, I'm looking at a 23-year-old young man trying to grow his game. It's completely first in his wheelhouse, and secondly, he will be liberated. His world will open up, and I think in many ways, so will ours. And this is what the criticism has been for so many years of Ben Simmons, the last 2 years. His world will open up and so will ours, is what Coach Brown said. You can't not agree with that statement. So I want to hear your thoughts on that too as well. Jay in Uptown, you're on the Fanatic. What's up, Jay? Jay going once. I'll put him on hold, see where he's at. 610-632-0975. A great schedule today in the NFL, for sure. But here's the cool thing with the Eagles. You don't have to look around and go, if this team beats that team, if this team here wins this game. No. For the Eagles, it's all right in front of them. All they got to do is go out and win. Not like last year where they had to win their last 3 games and get help. all the Eagles have to do is take care of their own business, go out there and win their football game. So as I'm watching some of these NFL games, and I know there's a lot of good ones out there, and they're going to have some playoff ramifications, and we're getting down to the end of the season now, the final 4 weeks, and the seeding, and who's going to be the one, who's going to be the two, who's going to get a bye, who's going to have to go on the road, all that stuff, all important stuff. It matters in the NFL. Getting home field advantage matters big time in the NFL. You look at all the teams that been to the Super Bowl over the last several years, had a bye in the first round. So all that stuff matters. But for the Eagles, it's about getting in. Getting in, getting Carson Wentz to taste the playoff action. 4 games to go, win them all, and they are the NFC East champs at 9-7. So we're talking about Ben Simmons. We're talking about your favorite athletes like Randall's mine, and he'll be here tomorrow. But also, I want to hear your thoughts on the Eagles at this point, tomorrow night, getting into the final 4 games. Are you excited about the possibility that they can win this NFC East? It's real. It's real. Then you host a game, and there have been a lot of, about at least 3-4 instances over the past decade or so where the first round game between a 4-seed division winner, whether they were 8-8, 9-7, 7-8-1 like Carolina was, they beat the wild card team with more wins, with double-digit wins, because that wild card team was on the road. 610-632-0975. Jay, I'll get you next. I'm Rob Motti on the Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
Welcome back, Rob Motti Show, 975 The Fanatic, 610-632-0975. Watching some of the action today in the NFL. Already just looking at things, questioning. You got the Saints playing the 49ers. They go up 13-7, and they go for 2 in the first quarter. Now they don't get it. You're playing, and I know I know what the numbers say, the analytics say about going for 2, but it's a big game that has seeding ramifications, and if it comes down to a 1-point loss because you went for 2 in the first quarter, Sean Payton, I think sometimes some of these coaches are getting carried away with trying to do it their way and do it a new way. 610-632-0975. We're talking about the Eagles-Giants tomorrow night. Ben Simmons last night. Sixers tonight against the Raptors. Randall Cunningham will be here tomorrow. Honorary captain. My favorite player growing up. Who was yours? Let's go to Jay in Uptown. You're on the Fanatic. What's up, Jay?
Hey, Rob. What's going on, bro?
How are you, buddy?
Good, man. I wanted to jump into Ben Simmons first. You know, watching that game last night, for me personally, it frustrates me because what he does, he should do that on a regular. Like, if you look at LeBron, he's a point guard in his 17th year. Ben should look like that right now. Ben should be averaging 23-12 or whatever. And he has the potential to do it.
But Jay, you just said LeBron in his 17th year.
Yeah, I know. But what I mean by LeBron, I mean, this is 18th year LeBron. I mean, I think Ben could average 23-10. I think he should be putting up that's me personally, man. You know,
hey, he's got the talent to do it, no doubt.
Yeah, he does.
He's got the talent.
It frustrated me last night seeing that, because it's like, damn, bro, like, do this more often.
I get that.
We really need you to do it, you know. But off and on was a good game. I love watching him do that or whatever. And I wanted to talk about my favorite athlete. For me personally, Deion Sanders.
Prime
you know, the
time.
Reason I say that, his swag on the field, like the way he wore his gloves, the long sleeves under the shirt, like, And when you're young playing football on the block, you just thinking about intercepting the football so you can high step it in and, you know, do the
dominoes. Jay, I was just about to say, how many times did you – I still high step in Turkey Bowl. You know what I mean? Still, to this day, 20 years later, trying to high step. Can't do it like Deion, though.
Yeah, yeah, definitely, man. But I appreciate you taking my call, man. It was good talking to you guys, man.
Thank you, Jay. Have a great rest of your Sunday. Man, Deion, and you know, it's funny. Like, I can't think of Deion. I'm thinking of baseball, and I remember when he dumped the Gatorade on Tim McCarver, because Tim McCarver was taking shots at Deion, and he's flying back, playing. Like, what he was doing was unheard of. Playing NFL game, then playing in the postseason with the Braves, and that's just an incredible two-way player on offense and defense, one of the best shutdown corners, and then playing baseball, too. And then he dumped the Gatorade on Tim McCarver after a win that was in the postseason, which I know Tim McCarver wasn't too happy about that, but a lot of fans weren't too displeased seeing that happen. Let's get to Chuck in West Philly. You're on the Fanatic. What's up, Chuck?
Hey, listen, before the Eagles played the Patriots, there was a lot of talk about how Carson Wentz needed to win two of three games that were coming up. The Patriots, Seattle, and then, of course, they're all looking at the Dallas game as a deciding game. Now, he's lost not only to the Patriots and Seattle, but he lost to the Miami as well. So we're going in now. You're saying he's got to win four games, and Eagles win a division. So it's all in front of Carson Wentz. If he doesn't win the division, are we now going to look at him like we should be looking at him right
now?
Yeah,
Chuck, because it takes one person to win a football game. That's it. It's one against 53. It's one guy. You go out there, because if they lose, it's his fault, no doubt. No doubt. Yeah, it's his fault. If they lose, like, he could throw for 552 yards, six touchdowns, but if they lose 72-70, he should have got 73 points. It's all on him, man. It's all on him. Whatever narrative you want to spin, because that's what you want to go with. It's all on him. Sure. It's all on him. It's always on the quarterback and the head coach. Let's get to Eric in South Philly. You're on the Fanatic. What's up, Eric?
Hey, what's up, Rob?
How you doing, bud?
My call, man.
Thank you for making it.
I want to speak on, like, everybody's saying about Carson Wentz. Again, he is not to blame. I'm sorry.
I hear that.
He's playing on Wentz.
Hey, listen, everybody gets a share of the blame, that's for sure, when you lose.
Exactly. That's the whole point. Mm-hmm. We have a team. It's called team for a reason. It's not a high-end team. But everybody forgets, now all of a sudden it's Wentz and not Foles. It's an high-end team. You have to do this. You have to do this. And it's not fair. But, again, everybody has to remember 2017, that Super Bowl, like I said, we have to remember a lot of teams that we played against, they had injured players that would have made a difference in their eyes at the game wasn't there. Wentz, again, came out snapping because he had zero injuries. So we cannot keep putting on, oh, look what they did in 2017, they got to do now. Well, he had different receivers then. Jeffrey had a point to make when he came back to play with the Eagles. He wanted to prove to the world he could still play as a receiver.
And it was 2 years ago where he's declined. And he had a nice game last week, Eric, right? But he's declined. There's no doubt Alshon Jeffrey has declined.
No doubt. No doubt. And I like the guy. Don't get it wrong. I like him because he has the heart, but he knows deep down inside, like, his time is coming, and he just don't want to give it up. But at the end of the day, that's hurting the Eagles. But, again, it's the coaches that have to make these trades to bring our team back together. As far as Ben, I'm not going to get on that. Like I said, I love Ben. He has developed that three-point, yes, of course. As far as my favorite player, I got to go with Brian Dawkins because he always brought the heart and soul to the Eagles every game, every second, no matter what. He put his blood, sweat, and tears on.
He never cheated you out of anything, B-Dawk.
Never.
Nah, B-Dawk was absolutely – I appreciate the call, man. Good stuff.
I appreciate you, Rob. Thank you, man.
Thank you. Yeah, Brian Dawkins, you never felt cheated watching that guy play, man. He brought the passion. He brought the energy. And, you know, I know Dawk off the field. I love who he is and what he stands for. He's a Hall of Famer on the field. Just incredible, incredible. You can't not like me. I don't know, and I've said this many times. I grew up here, lived here, never moved out. Always been in the area my entire life. Just only moved from South Philly, South Jersey. But the Brian Dawkins to me and Chase Utley, I think, were the two most revered athletes of my lifetime. I've never seen, and I think Chase just a little bit. There was, towards the end, there was some fans who got on him, and deservedly so. B-Dawk, no. There was never any kind of booze or criticism for B-Dawk. He absolutely was the man. Pat is in Florida. You're on the Fanatic. What's up, Pat?
What's happening, Rob? How you doing today?
Fantastic, buddy.
Yeah, so I got two things. I got a favorite athlete, but first let me start with my Eagles point. I heard the Odell Beckham comments and stuff that he's been saying to other players and coaches today reportedly about he wants out of Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave up a 1, a 3, and Jabril Peppers for OBJ. If I'm the Eagles, I'm making a strong push for Odell Beckham this offseason.
Who, by the way, is playing through a sports hernia. He's kind of – that's what Josina Anderson reported today. That he hasn't made a decision on surgery, but he's got like a sports hernia. He's 27. You would think he's going to have that surgery after the season.
He's 27 years old. I don't think he would get in Carson's head like T.O. and McNabb. I don't think that would be the case. I think
no. And you know what? Listen, for the most part, I think the Eagles have a locker room culture that can help Odell Beckham Jr. And he hasn't been a problem personality this season. He hasn't been. I think he's changed a little bit. He's grown up a little bit. I get a little bit of concerned though if the guy's going to have sports hernia surgery after the season. We saw with Mac Hollins, he took him so long to come back, and
McNabb had it.
Yeah, it's different. It's different though with a quarterback and a receiver. Like, yeah, I would absolutely be interested in Odell Beckham Jr. for sure. But what are you giving up, Pat? You know what I mean?
I'm interested as far as giving up a first-round draft pick the way we draft.
I don't know.
It's going to take that because someone's going to give it up. It might be New England. It might be us. It might be Green Bay. Who knows?
I can't say no. I can't say no. First-round pick for Odell Beckham. I can't say no. You got me, Pat. You sold me. I'm sold.
I would love to acquire him in the offseason. And then as far as my favorite athlete, as of the moment, I got Michael Phelps, but I got a caveat. Yeah.
Go ahead.
I got caveat. If golf just introduced the Olympics to golf, if Tiger Woods wins a gold medal, then I will switch my favorite athlete from Michael Phelps to Tiger Woods.
Wow. Good point. I like that. And I'm with you now on Odell. If it's a first-round pick, he'll be coming off-season sports hernia surgery, but hey. You're not going to draft the number one receiver like Odell Beckham Jr. I'm confident enough in this locker room structure. I know there's issues with Alshon Jeffrey and a little bit with Nelson Aguilar. And I know a whole lot about that situation, a lot more than I've said on the air here. And I think that that's more of an Alshon issue than it is the other player. Well, I know for sure it's an Alshon issue, not the other players in the locker room. And I think Odell can come here. If he came here with the right mindset, he'd fit in. I think it could help him and it could be beneficial for him. But that's for the offseason. Right now, man, right now, this team is still there, still in it. They got to win 4 games in a row, and they got to beat bad football teams. They got to beat bad football teams to win a division, and then anything can happen. And forget about even making noise in the playoffs, just getting a home playoff game so Carson can get his first home playoff game, can get his first taste of playoff action, to me, is big. 610-632-0975. Eagles playoffs. Ben Simmons last night. Sixers Raptors. Who's your favorite athlete of all time? Randall memories. I want to hear all of it. Brendan, John, hang on. I'll get to both of you next. You could join the show after that. I'm Rob Motti on the Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The Fanatic.
On 97.5, The Fanatic. I'm Rob Motti, 610-632-0975. Here till 3 p.m. on this football Sunday, this NBA basketball Sunday for the Sixers. They get ready to take on the Raptors tonight on 97.5, The Fanatic down at the center. And this weekend's programming is brought to you by Commonwealth Charter Academy. Does the idea of your child returning to their classroom after winter break seem unthinkable? Commonwealth Charter Academy can help. Visit ccaeducate.me. I got to check that out. Definitely got to check that out. I don't like sending my kids to school, period. I like that. I don't like the waking up early stuff. Waking up early, the whole school situation. Man, they make kids get, and it gets earlier and earlier every year. At least they're still in first grade. It's 8:45, but I'm a sports writer, so I got the late schedules. It's different for me. Changed my life when my kids started going to school last year. John and Wilmbury, you're on The Fanatic. What's up, John?
Hey, how's it going, Rob?
How are you, buddy?
Alrighty. I'm telling you, I'm hoping for the best for the Eagles. Like you said, we're not out of this thing yet. If we can just kind of like take it one game at a time, beginning with the Giants on Monday night, anything's possible when you consider our record and Dallas's record. So I definitely think we have a shot at, making the playoffs. As far as my favorite athlete of all time, I mean, I'm 58 years old, so I've seen a lot of great athletes in professional sports, but I don't know how people just keep overlooking Dr. J. I mean, this guy was incredible. He was incredible, and he was a game changer. And he won last second games for the Sixers. And in those great wars that they had against the Celtics and the Lakers, because the Celtics most of the time had to go through the Sixers, in order to get to the Lakers.
Oh, they were some great wars back then in the 80s.
And I know a lot of people talk about how Bird and Magic, made the league, but you cannot overlook the impact of what Dr. J did during those late 70s, early 80s until those two guys started taking over. He elevated the game of basketball and, to an art form.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And then even when he retired, that wasn't even something planned. It was just that when the media caught hold of the fact that he was going into, this was his last year, then all these teams that he, had wars against wanted to honor him, with a farewell tour. So that right there just kind of like speaks to the greatness and the statesmanship of this basketball player. I mean, he was that great, man.
Yeah, John, you're the third person who's given me Dr. J as all-time favorite. And you're right, man. He what he did on the court, he was really one of the pioneers, for sure, man.
Oh, yes. Oh, for sure.
No
for
doubt.
Sure. Can I just give you one other sport?
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
You just have to look at how he dominated. And this is recent. Usain Bolt. For three Olympics, he just dominated the 100, the 200, and his team, the 4x100-meter relay. I mean,
that's a good one.
Yeah.
Fun to watch, man. Fun to watch.
Oh, absolutely.
I appreciate the call, John. Have a great Sunday. Usain Bolt. I haven't had too many. I got Usain Bolt, got Michael Phelps, but haven't had too many sports other than we've had baseball, football, basketball. Haven't had any hockey guys. Any Wayne Gretzky favorite, or maybe Mario Lemieux, Sidney Crosby. I don't know.
I got to tell you, Bobby the individual Clark, ones,
yeah,
they have to be, you know, you could have a favorite player on a team sport because they were eccentric or good or whatever reason.
Right.
For an individual athlete, they have to be dominant. They have to be Phelps. They have to be Usain Bolt because you're not going to like a guy that's good.
Yeah,
because you don't know
Tyson
good
when he was
athletes.
Dominant. Or, you're right. You're right. Who else? Can you think of any others? Like, I guess you
Federer.
Could, yeah, I was just gonna
Serena
go,
Williams,
tennis. Yeah, it's guys like that. If you go old time golf, like I don't remember
Nicholas
Palmer. I don't remember those guys. I mean, some people might go John Daly just because of the way he was. He didn't dominate for a long period of time, but he was a different guy.
Yeah, he might be the exception to the individual rule.
Yeah. 610-632-0975. Greatest athletes of all time. Your favorite guys. Because Randall's here tomorrow. He's my favorite. I grew up, loved watching Randall Cunningham play. Brendan in Mount Laurel. You're on the Fanatic. What's up, man?
Not much, man. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Look, you're not going to like what I have to say. Dude, I kind of want, like, I would rather the Eagles tank this year and just go for a draft pick because, like, if we make the playoffs, say we get past the wild card, we're not getting past the division. And where I'm coming from is that when you make the playoffs, ultimately your goal is to win a Super Bowl, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's your goal. But we're not getting past the NFC Championship. We're not getting past the division. We're not beating either New England or Baltimore. I think we should kind of, and I know, like,
I hear what you're saying, Brendan. Like, I hear what you're saying, but so here's the deal: where they finish, they'll finish second or first. It's probably going to be a matter of maybe three or four spots. It's not going to be that big of a difference, and to be able to finish the season on a high note, get Carson a playoff experience, get some of the younger guys some playoff experience, Miles Sanders. I think long term will be better for this organization than we know they don't draft that well. So if they get the 22nd pick or the 18th pick, what's the big deal, right?
Yeah, and I was actually just thinking about that because they've already won enough games. They're not going to get like a fourth or fifth round. You know,
you know what I'm going to do?
He's getting the number one pick, and then it's going to be the Giants and the Browns.
Yeah.
So you got a good point there, man.
I'm actually going to look in the during the next break. I'm going to look up and hang on, listen. I'm going to let you know where they stand right now and what I think it'll be if they win or not. What pick they're at right now, all right?
Yeah.
All right, man. Appreciate the call.
Yeah, no problem. I'm torn between because I haven't heard any hockey. So I didn't really get to see Wayne Gretzky, but I know he was just an unbelievable freaking nature. But for me, my favorite, it has to be Kobe.
Kobe?
It has to be Kobe, man. Just how he would put up points, you know.
He was a killer, man. Kobe
was. He was.
He had that heart of a lion. I appreciate the call, man. Thank you, Brendan. Kobe was one of those guys you definitely paid to see. You paid to watch Kobe. You absolutely wanted to go out there. And Kobe's in town, and I know he's from the area, grew up in Lower Merion and all that stuff. Yeah, I would definitely put Kobe on a top 10 list of must-see athletes. It's kind of, you know, there's must-see athlete versus favorite athlete. And you can have favorite players. Like, to me, Randall, I knew he wasn't the best quarterback in the NFL. Like, I love Joe Montana and Dan Marino, but Randall was my favorite because, one, I grew up here. I was an Eagles season ticket holder. I was a fan, and I watched and looked forward to the way, and I loved the way he played the game. And I knew he wasn't the best at his position. Could he have been? Maybe. So your favorite player doesn't necessarily have to be the greatest of all time. You can have favorite players, and we know people have some favorite players who are role guys, marginal players. Like, I'll tell you this, my favorite Phillies player, this is crazy. My favorite Phillies player was a catcher who turned out to be a manager, John Russell, a catcher for the Phillies. Nat and Tyler, you probably don't remember. You probably remember John Russell as a Pirates manager. And I don't have stats or anything in front of me. This is how crazy I am. In 1986, and you can fact check me, all right? In 1986, the year before the Phillies went out and signed Lance Parrish, John Russell had 13 homers, 60 RBIs, and 315 at-bats. I want you to check on that and come back from the break. Let me know if I'm correct. 1986, 13 homers, 60 RBIs, and 315 at-bats. And I think he was like top three, top four in RBI per at-bat ratio in the National League, and then they went out and signed Lance Parrish, and he never heard. But see, for whatever reason, he was my favorite, and he married a. I remember this. He married a ball girl too.
I got to ask you something.
Yeah,
how do you remember these things?
Is it right?
You're spot on all three of them.
13, 60, 315. 13 homers,
13 home runs, 60 RBIs,
315 at bats.
315 at bats.
In 1986. I don't, like, he was my favorite player growing up.
Do those stats, do you have to push out, like, your daughter's favorite color or something like that to remember?
People used to call me JR in grade school because that was my favorite Phillies.
Unbelievable, man.
Favorite Phillies baseball player. 610-632-0975. Favorite athletes growing up, Eagles, Giants, Ben Simmons conversation, Alex and Mike. Hang on, I'll get to you next. You can join the show and get in on the conversation after them. I'm Rob Motti on a Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.